Okay. All right. Let's start Tfilas Derech. Okay. Yeah, this one is easy. All right. So this is also Tfilas Derech is one of my favorite sugyas. It's a nice breather from Chazaka. So. Okay, we'll get to that. What's always great about Tfilas Derech, this is one of those areas where, like, when it comes to Halacha L'maisa, it's very confusing. You know, do you say it with the bracha or not? When do you say it? You know, how does it work today? I can show you some fun cases, modern-day cases. Cases, for instance, of, like, driving in the old days of the State of Israel, driving from Yerushalayim to Tel Aviv. It was very dangerous. Should you say Tfilas Derech when you go into, to the Shtachim, etc.? But then I want this to be the first part. The second part is Berachas Hagoma. That's where you survive. What do you call it? Yeah. One other preface. Okay, it's so important to understand. I mean, this is one of those things you have to put yourself in that mindset. Obviously, traveling back then is not like traveling today. Okay, back then you really were risking a lot, leaving Modi'in, traveling to Jerusalem. There were lots of people of that type on the roads, Listim and robbers. So no, it was a very fearful experience. Okay, I mean, again, we don't have that today. We don't feel that way today. But, okay, yeah. No, by the way. All right. So again, later when we get to Lachol Maisa, we'll get to what a trip for today. But the point is, anytime you go leave for a trip, you must daven, right? Tfilas Derech. So my Tfilas Derech.
Oh, my Tfilas Derech.
Beautiful. Okay. Beautiful.
Right.
Good reading. All right. Let's take a step back, okay? Let's make some observations about this tefillah. What are some observations you can make about the tefillah?
Singular.
Okay. Okay, that we know already, but that's from later on. No, come on. That we know. We have this. No, we don't.
Like the way of peace.
Fine. Okay, that's true. I don't care so much about the wording, but you're right. That's true. Okay. Well, what are two? Okay, there are two aspects that are important about the tefillah. One is it's obviously is a bakasha. Okay, it's a bakasha. And the second thing is that what's the Berachas Chasima, what's the bracha you make at the end? Because those two things should make you very, very, you should immediately start questioning something. Again, it's a bakasha and the bracha shemei tefillah. What question should you ask at this point? No. That's a good question. No. That's cute, but no. No, you're right. You could. That's a very technical question. No.
Why won't the end be off of the bracha that you're asking?
Better. Come on.
I agree. The bracha's not
in the... Good. So there is something here. All right, good. Yudi's right. Tfilah sederek, right? So this is a tfilah. But if this is a tfilah, it's a bakasha, and wow, that bracha sounds very familiar. What you should ask then is, the fact that this says shomea tfilah, right, should tip you off, then when should you say this? Stick it in, no, not every day, but stick it in your tfilah. Okay, we know that shomea tfilah was set up for what one of its purposes is to do what? As the catch-all, right? So stick the tfilah sederek in there. Why would you have, think about this, Yudi, why would you have a separate tefillah, a bakasha outside of Shemoneh Esrei? The simple solution is that if I know I'm leaving, right, make a party of Shemoneh Esrei. That's when you make bakashas.
And if you don't?
Yeah, what if you don't end up
doing it? So, maybe I can argue that there might be room for it, but why even say that? Halachically speaking, what's pushing Chazal to develop a tefillah outside of the corpus of tefillah itself? Tefillah is... And to the point where, obviously, they're sensitive to this issue because they use the same exact bracha that they use in Shemoneh Esrei. That, to me, it's a no-brainer, right? They could have said a different bracha. Tfilah sederach. Shomea tfilah. Bakasha. All this stuff should have been in Shemoneh Esrei. But even to buttress your question, this isn't the necessary girsa, right? As you'll see, you could actually put in... Yuritzon Fonecha, Hashem Elokai, Shetulchen Shalom, Vetene Shalom, and help me out on my trip to West Hempstead. You can subjectify it. You're allowed to. You can do that in Tefillah Sederach. What's pushing them to create a separate tefillah? But it's funny, because at the same time, they're creating something different, and yet it still has that vestige of Shemoneh Esrei. It's not a coincidence that they use Shemoneh Tefillah. There has to be some reason for that. Okay? Yes. So obviously, okay, let's first capture what is, I mean, there's definitely a sakana here, no question about it, okay? Let's capture, in other words, when a person's going out on the road and he knows it's a dangerous trip, okay? So what mindset is he in at that point?
Scared.
He's scared. He's nervous, yeah. Right? He's scared, rightly so. Okay. So, yeah. But you're nervous about it. That's the key point. It's not just about the probability.
It's
about
dangerous.
Right. Okay, good. Excellent. Okay, you're nervous about it. There's something about the trip that you're nervous about. And I'm not saying you're not justified, but you're scared about something. Now, think about it for a second. You want to add something? What do Chazal love doing? I know it's a huge question, but what do they love doing? They love taking emotional, natural emotional situations, right, that could lead to a dangerous outcome, meaning a bad, in quotes, a conclusion, and redirecting it towards something good, okay? For instance, when it comes to things like avilus, right? So Chazal come along and take the normal sadness a person would have by a deceased relative, and they create channels and avenues to properly express that sadness, okay? Here, right, we have a situation where a person's going to feel like he's dangerous, scared, etc., right? Now,
it's subjective.
Well, it's definitely subjective, I agree, but I'm saying, but you're going to be scared, okay? So Chazal loved taking these kinds of things and making opportunities out of them. They see an opportunity that, you know what? Since this person is extremely scared, right, we're going to take advantage of it. Now, by the way, in order for them to create a tefillah, okay, I'm saying to use the term tefillah, you have to say that okay, let's put this scared thing to the side for a second. In order to create a tefillah, you'd have to say that the phenomenon or the state of mind that the person will be in traveling bears some similarity to what a person should see of himself when he's in regular Shmon Esrei. Okay? So let's start with regular Shmon Esrei. In a most basic level, when it comes to tefillah, I don't need any fancy shirim on this, basic idea, how should you view yourself when you're a mispa'al before God? What do you see yourself as? What? I need things. I'm a dependent existence, right? That is the essence of, I mean, you can... We can give a shiram up to the wazoo about tefillah, but ultimately it comes down to one simple idea. I'm dependent, right? Which again, is to counter the idea of being independent, right? We're dependent on God. We cannot exist without God, okay? That's the framework of tefillah. So the question is, how do we make, all right, this phenomenon, right, of traveling in a dangerous situation fit that? To me, because I don't usually do this often, but I want to show you the end game and then kind of work backwards methodologically. The end game is going to be, in my opinion, they use Shemaya Tefillah to demonstrate that this really is an extension of Tefillah. All right? They needed the system of Shmon Esrei in place, and then they build this off Shmon Esrei. They're using Shmon Esrei as the template for this idea. That's why they keep Shemaya Tefillah. It's a Shemaya Tefillah Bakasha. Right? It's not a coincidence. It's like an extension of Shmon Esrei. But how does traveling on the road in a dangerous environment, how does that capture that same state of mind you have when you're standing before God? Think about it. Like, again, let's use. I'm not saying you have to say tefillah derech on a plane, but I'm saying for those more theologically minded. So you recognize when you're on a plane, right? What separates you from death, right? This much. And as I've been saying, which I agree with, that when you put yourself in a state of vulnerability, the feeling of dependence, right, is something that as a dependent existence becomes more aware. You're more aware how frail your existence is, how limited it is. The Chazal want to take advantage of that moment. They want to say, you know what? Now that you're in this natural dependent state, you see, when it comes to davening, you're not naturally in dependent state. Chazal have to push you into that dependent state. In other words, you're countering the natural. Naturally speaking, I'm an egocentric person. I don't think I need anything. I breathe. Everything works the way it's supposed to. But Chazal force you to daven, so to speak, right? But tefillah sederach, here there's a golden opportunity. The person's naturally in dependent state. Right? Again, I know often don't think that way, but yeah, what as far as I'm just offering for tefillah sederach is that we'll get into more specifics later, tomorrow, but the point I'm trying to make is that what's it trying to do here? Right? I haven't answered every question yet. What it's trying to do is it's trying to capture something. It's saying, whereas by regular tefillah, a person is not in a dependent state, and Shmon Esrei will put him in that state. Here's a state of mind where naturally the person's in a dependent state. So now they're going to capture that. Okay? But they couldn't make this, I'm going to say this carefully, tefillah sederach, and I'll show you this, is not an independent tefillah. It's like an appendage to Shmon Esrei. That's why they use Shmon Tefillah. It's not its own tefillah. So what Avi's getting at, So Avi says, yeah, but is it completely subjective? Is it only dependent upon when you feel scared? That's a good question. That's why taking this and halachifying it is so challenging. Like today, these questions come up. Should you say tefillah zederach if you don't really feel any fear? Keep that in mind also for birchas hagomel. Birchas hagomel is going to be the same problem. Is birchas hagomel limited to certain situations, regardless of what you feel? Or is it the feeling that I survive something that produces a mechayev? Excellent question. That's what makes these things so difficult to halachify.